All right, look in your Bibles, the book of Psalms tonight, Psalm 22, and we'll read there, and I'm also reading a verse in Psalm 23 and then a verse in Psalm 24 tonight. While you find your place again, thank you for being in the Lord's house. When we're done preaching the invitation all tonight, we'll have our business meeting, and we'll get that took care of tonight. But I do thank you for being here. I want to begin a thought tonight, more or less. I'm not going to preach a long time, but I kind of give you an introduction to a thought that's on my heart and then come back to it at another time. So you pray the Lord to help us here tonight. Psalm 22, and I'm going to read just verse number one. Psalm 22 and verse number one. The Bible said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Then look at Psalm 23. Psalm 23 and verse 1. Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Bible said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Then look at Psalm 24. Psalm 24 and verse 1. Psalm 24 and verse 1, the Bible says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you tonight for mercy. Thank you for grace. Thank you, Lord, for the good song of Zion. Lord, from my heart tonight, I want to say I love you. Because you first loved me. Lord, thank you for the reading of the word of God. I pray now for just a little while. Lord, you touch me. Help me. Give me the very words that I need to say tonight. Lord, we ask it indeed. Let the word find its resting place in our hearts. Stir us up, oh God. Lord, then for that that's lost, I pray the Holy Ghost to convict. Lord, they'd be saved before it's everlasting too late. Help us now. May we glorify you in all we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I've read, no doubt, some very familiar psalms to you tonight in Psalm 22, 23, and 24. And these three psalms are a cluster or form a trilogy, if you please. They go hand in hand together. And I began thinking about this a few weeks ago. It's been stirring in my heart, and I'm just going to lay some groundwork. And for a while on Wednesday night, just kind of preach our way through these three psalms, and I try to feed us, try to give us something that'll help us grow as a Christian. I've thought about these psalms, and I've read them hundreds of times, no doubt, in my own Christian life. And most of us can probably quote the 23rd psalm. Some are more familiar with it than the Psalm 22 or Psalm 24, but these psalms are so great. They stir the soul. I mean, even to day afresh as I read all three of them together in my study today, how that the Spirit of God would well up in my heart, and I was blessed by just reading these psalms today. They'll stir your soul. May I also say they're sweet to the soul. Man, you talk about something sweet as you get in these psalms right here, how they'll help you. Can I say this to you tonight? Everybody looking and listening just a moment. All of us are going to have problems and trials and dark valleys in our life. Could I encourage you when you get there, it'd be a good thing for you to get in the book of Psalms and begin reading, begin meditating. Man, you talk about a sweet book. That'll help you when things are down and out. Hey, the psalmist knew something about high victories and low valleys. He was very much acquainted with those situations. And so these psalms are sweet to the soul tonight. Now, I want to give you four things, just doing an introduction, laying some groundwork tonight, and then maybe, Lord willing, next week we'll pick up in Psalm 22. And begin preaching through it. But I will look at four things tonight about these three psalms in particular. Can I say, first of all, they are powerful psalms. Why do you say that, preacher? They'll yield some results in your life. No doubt in your life they already have. A powerful psalm. You say, what do you mean? Well, in Psalm 22, if you read it, meditate, study it, it'll result in conviction. It sure will. By the way, conviction is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Man, as you read that psalm about dealing with the crucifixion, and that is what's covered in that psalm. Oh, friend, how it'll so grip your heart. Every time I've read Psalm 22, my heart's just squeezed. I convicted within me. Oh, Psalm 23, it's powerful, for it results in comfort. It'll be amazing. Maybe in eternity we'll find out how many people down through the centuries have been comforted by Psalm 23. Hey, it's been read at more funerals. It's been on more plaques. It's been on Bible markers and other things. It's a very well-known psalm. Why is that, preacher? The comfort that psalm brings to the soul. I've read her over and over again. Man, in my mind, I visualized David sitting there somewhere and looking back when he was a shepherd boy and was reminded by the sweet Holy Ghost that God's our shepherd, and what a great shepherd he really is. Oh, friend, tonight, that result of Psalm 23 is comfort. Psalm 24, I believe, results in celebration. For it not only looks at one day that happened after the cross, but it's looking forward to a day when we'll be with the Lord together. Oh, and the celebration that it stirs up on the inside. Oh, these psalms are powerful psalms. Let me say this secondly, not only are they powerful, but they're portrait psalms. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? They paint pictures as you read them in your mind. This is one area. Matter of fact, last time I just don't have business beat. I looking to get into this then. And I've been meditating on it ever since. And I thought about how such a picture by the Holy Ghost is so painted in our heart as we read these psalms. And it gets so vivid as we read. I don't know how it is when you read, but it comes alive to me. It begins stirring my heart and blessing me. Oh, these psalms, they are a portrait psalm. You see, Psalm 22, we see a portrait very plainly of Christ our sacrifice. Man, Calvary's what's here in this text, and we'll hit that over and over again tonight. But oh, my friend, what a portrait of Calvary over 1,000 years before it ever happened. Friend, Calvary was already being shared with people. Oh, friend, Psalm 23, we have a portrait of Christ, our shepherd. And what a shepherd. I think there he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm glad to say he's your shepherd. I'm glad to say he is the church's shepherd. But I'm more excited to say that the Lord is my shepherd tonight. Oh, friend, what a portrait we, hallelujah. What a portrait we have of our shepherd, Lord, in the verse 6 simple verses. But oh, what a portrait we have of the shepherd tonight. Psalm 24, we have a portrait of Christ, our sovereign. You understand something, you keep this in heart and mind. God is still on the throne. As he always has been, so shall he ever be. Amen. Hey, there is no danger of him being overthrown tonight. Amen. Hey, it may get dark in our country and in this old world sometime, but I tell you, as I look through the pages of the scripture, I see where God is going to rule and reign this thing. It'll finally be like it's supposed to be one day. Hey, that's hope right there. Amen. Hey, I'm so glad for Christ, our sovereign tonight. Not only that, let me say this. We see, I'm going to go back and forth for a minute in these psalms. We see also a portrait in Psalm 22, the good shepherd dying for the sheep. You see, Christ did die He did not go in a coma. He laid down his life. That we see the good shepherd dying for the sheep. Psalm 23, we see the great shepherd leading his sheep. Hey, you talk about leadership. He'll never lead you wrong. Hey, if you and I just be smart and just lay in behind the shepherd. Amen. Hey, they in a path that he ain't walked down. There's not a pit hole or a problem that he don't already know. And if we, hey, hallelujah, if we'll just stay close to the shepherd and let him lead us tonight. Oh, we see the great shepherd leading his sheep. Then I see in Psalm 24, the chief shepherd living with his sheep. Hey, I'm looking forward to that. You think about that. This one of these days, we'll be face to face. Amen. Hey, not just in a spiritual sense, but in a physical sense. Amen. Hey, we find over and over and over again this great psalm dealing with the he'll rule and reign one day. Then we go back at Psalm 22 and you have a portrait of Calvary. Psalm 23, a portrait of the valley. Psalm 24, a portrait of Mount Zion. Hey, what about that? Between the mountaintops is a valley. That's where you and I live right now. We are in the valley, the church age, but thank God one day very soon we'll get out of the valley and we'll be on Mount Zion one day. Oh, yes. Hey, I hope you're getting blessed tonight. It's a blessing me. Hey, there's something about this blessed old book. I like it. It stirs me up, amen. Hey, in Psalm 22, you see the cross. Psalm 23, you see the crook, the shepherd's crook. In Psalm 24, you see the crown. Hey, I'm telling you, he went to Calvary one time. He's never going back to Calvary. Hey, my friend lives and he lives forevermore. And one day, that great crown be placed upon him. A crown with many crowns one day. Oh, friend, hey, Psalm 22, you have a portrait of wrath, for the wrath of God's poured out on Christ because of sin. Hey, in Psalm 23, you see wealth. Do you understand how blessed you are tonight? The shepherd's with you. He's got everything you need to take care of you. Amen. He's got all the green pastures you need. All the still waters you need. He's got the weaponry to protect you and I tonight. Hey, I'm saying to us, what a portrait of wealth there is in Psalm 23. Hey, in Psalm 24, we have a portrait of a welcome. Man, it's going to be great. Man, I'll get to it later on when we get to that psalm. But oh, where it said in verse 9 of Psalm 24, lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Man, you talk about a welcome one day. Amen. What a blessing that's going to be. Then in Psalm 23, you have a portrait of grace. You say, preacher, how can there be grace at the cross? That's what helped us. Grace. Amen. What a picture of grace Calvary really is. That's right. You and I deserve judgment. You and I ought to be in hell. But God gave us grace. Amen. Hey, in Psalm 23, a portrait of guidance. You talk about somebody could help you. Amen. I love to read, and I read a lot of books and have a lot of books. But I tell you what, this helped you and I more than anything. We just get back to the book. Every area of your life is covered in this book. You say, preacher, this subject is not covered. Oh, yeah, it is. It may not be named as it is right now, but it's in there. Amen. There's guidance in Psalm 23. Hey, there's a portrait of glory in Psalm 24 tonight. Hey, I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to that great day. My mind, I try to imagine it every now and then. Boy, as a bride, we leave this old world headed through, my friend, the atmosphere headed to the third heaven, the city of God. Whoa, what glory there's going to be. Amen. So we see these psalms are powerful. And these psalms, they're portraits that describe to us. But let me say number three, these psalms are prophetic as well. Psalm 22 prophesies Christ and the cross. Now, I want to say this, and I'll say it again next week in more detail. So David is the, he penned these words down. David is the penman of Psalm 22. But David never experienced everything that's in this psalm. He's writing about stuff he probably wasn't even real sure about as he wrote. But he wrote because the Holy Ghost moved him to. Amen. And he may not have quite understood all about it, but it was pointing to a time when Christ would come and go to the cross. Prophetic scripture here in Psalm 20. I thought afresh yesterday as I was studying this and meditating on it. You wonder why the Jew could not see who Jesus was when he is here on earth. If they just believed the Old Testament scriptures like they claimed to have believed them, they would have known that was him. Just from reading this psalm. Man, surely, no doubt, some of them, I'd say his disciples later on probably did grab a hold of this fact. After the crucifixion and resurrection, they said, man, that's what the psalmist was talking about in Psalm 20 the whole time. Amen. Hey, we find that prophetically we see Christ and the cross. Psalm 23, we see prophetically Christ and the church. Or you could even word it Christ and the Christian tonight. He was looking down through time at the church in the psalm. Hey, Psalm 24, you have a prophetic message of Christ and the celebration to come. Pointing to it, describing it to us. Then let me say this, and I'm done here with this fourth one. These three psalms, we see them also, fourthly, practically. Practical day-by-day application where you and I live tonight. And this is where I'll finish right here. In Psalm 22, we learn and see what God thinks about sin. You hear me? Sin's not just a boo-boo and a mistake. Sin is very wretched and wicked. And it is so vile that this psalm describes what Christ was even going to have to go through because of our sin. Amen. Hey, you ought to read Psalm 22 over and over again. You grasp this, what God thinks about sin. Calvary displayed what God thinks about sin. All sin and everybody's sin was laid on Christ at Calvary. Nobody was stepped over. Amen. You say, preacher, everybody going to be saved? No, everybody's not going to be saved, but everybody could have been saved. Amen. He has paid the sin debt. And if we turn to him, trust in the finished work of what Christ has done, we can be saved. That's what I did. That's what you've done. We have looked back to him and trusted him for paying our sin debt. Oh, friend, we see what God thinks about sin. God poured his wrath out. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I want to say this. This psalm's in the dark. And I'm going to hit that more next week. The events of this psalm's in the dark. And you'll see it when we get to it later on. Man, just what God really thinks about sin is shown in this psalm. Then let me say Psalm 23. A practical lesson here is this. The shepherd sustains. He is going to take care of us. He really is. Now, I stress this, I guess because of some stuff I see in the last several years, the last 10 years in particular, that don't mean God's going to pay your cable bill and your satellite bill and all them extra toys you got hold of. He may let that go back to the bank. You all right? But he will take care of you. Amen. And we've been fed. And if we miss some days, I don't think it hurt none of us. It wouldn't me. I just know, amen, trying to be a big preacher. I'm working hard at it. Amen. But we're blessed. I mean, he sustains us. Hey, how many times, let me just bring this to you. How many times have you thought your storm, your problem, that's the one that's going to do you in. How many times you said, this is the last day. I'm not going to be able to raise my head tomorrow. How many times has that happened to you? You know why you are still here tonight? Because your shepherd sustained you. Amen. So that'll let you shout all the way to the house right there. Amen. Of how he sustains his sheep. Oh, what a practical lesson. And we need to read it over and over again. Hey, he takes care of us. Psalm 24. I believe a practical message. Their strength till that day. The reason I have not quit as I look at our country and our world tonight, and by the way, we're still in spiritual bad shape. In this country and the whole world. Amen. I'm not looking to a political party for salvation. They can't do it. Are you hearing me? But the reason I still press on, as dark as it's got, as bad as sin is in this day, I receive strength out of Psalm 24. But it's going to wind up just like he said it would. Amen. We're headed to a place where sin will never enter. Amen. This world one day will burn up with a fervent heat. There'll be new heavens and new earth. Oh, yeah. One that's... Now, you think about something. This world is beautiful. I think it is. I marvel at it. I marvel at the creation. I couldn't believe evolution. There ain't no way I could believe evolution. No way. They ain't got nothing but holes and questions is all they got. Amen. But in the beginning, God... That's pretty simple, put it right down. Hey, this thing continuing on. Amen. Hey, we're seeing things bud right now because all the warm weather had been dead dormant looking. Now it's a budding again. We're getting shoots of green grass back up again. Hey, that ain't evolution. That's a God that said, let there be and there was. Amen. I'm receiving strength tonight. Till that day come when all sins done away with, all this creation is made. Hey, as we long for Jesus to come, do you understand that the earth is groaning to be delivered to? According to Romans 8. Romans 8 teaches us that. It is groaning. Look, hey, I'm going to tell you something. It's one day going to wind up just like the book says it will. And that strength that keeps us going till that day. I've just laid some groundwork, and here's what I want you to do between now and the next week. You read and reread and meditate on Psalm 22, Psalm 23, Psalm 24 while we're doing this Bible study. Would you do that for preacher? Go home, read it. Add it to your read. You could do without social media for an extra hour, surely. It won't even take you an hour to read it. I read it in less than 30 minutes in my office. Sit down and read all three Psalms. And then let it stir in your heart and your mind. Amen? And just meditate on all three of these Psalms for a little bit. Next week, Lord, well, I'm going to preach out Psalm 22. Also add to your reading. Let me give you a little more reading. I'll get you caught up on your Bible reading between now and next week. And write this down, because we're going to study Psalm 22. You need to read and meditate on Matthew chapter 27. Then you need to also read Mark chapter 15, because they'll go along with this psalm. Matthew 27, Mark chapter 15, Luke chapter 23. Read that chapter as well. It goes hand in hand with this psalm. And then John 19, John chapter 19. Read it as you read this psalm. You're going to find here, again, this is prophetic. It looked to Calvary, Matthew 27, Mark 15, Luke 23, John 19, all the chapters in the Gospels that concern the crucifixion. You're going to find out how many prophecies were told right here and how many were fulfilled that day as you read. That'll help you be ready as we get in the book on this psalm next week. Amen. Father, take the message, use it for thy honor and thy glory. Thank you for the richness and the realness of the Scripture tonight. Lord, take it, seal it to our hearts. May we glorify you in our daily walk with thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed, just a moment. Let's stand. They're going to give us an invitation together while you stand tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you've got a need on your heart tonight, maybe you've come in burdened down. You've been reminded the shepherd's going to sustain you. He'll help you. You've been reminded there's coming a great day. Been reminded what Christ has done for you. If you've got a need, I encourage you, slip out of your pew, come to the altar. There's help for you tonight.